Well, it's time to turn to God's word again and to the book of Philippians. We've been looking at this letter to the Philippians together for a little while, and we've got to chapter 4. If you're at home, don't forget, boys and girls, you've got sheets I've sent round, and also here as well if you want to fill in the sheet, and I'll try and help you follow along with that. And as always, it's great to see pictures of what you've been doing on our WhatsApp group. This morning, we're just going to focus in on one verse, a very wonderful verse from this letter, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Hopefully, it'll be on the screen behind me. If you haven't got a Bible, also you'll see it at home on your screen. And this is what it says, simply says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Before we look at this verse, just to let you know that next Sunday, our evening service will be in the building at 6 p.m. Our evening service will be here. Our morning service will just be online, and it's going to be a guest service, and Sukraj Banga will be leading that and preaching a simple and clear gospel message. It will be about 20 minutes long as part of the service, so it'll be a great one to invite others to listen into or to watch. That's next Sunday at 10:30. So do pray about that and encourage others to watch and listen in. And let's pray that the Lord would use that to draw others to him. But this morning we're looking at Philippians 4, verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Now, I've got a bar of chocolate here. Don't get excited, I'm not going to give any out. But actually, I've eaten it all. But this bar of chocolate, I think I've told you this before. If you look on a bar of chocolate, it's been like this for a little while, and you look on the back, there's a little box, and it says, "Scan here for joy." Boys and girls, that's on your sheet. "Scan here for joy." And there's one of those mobile phone tags. And if you scan your phone there, it takes you to the Cadbury's chocolate website. And I remember the first time I went to the website, I saw the word "joy maker." And it told me about how I could create my own bar of chocolate with 40 chunks or even 60 chunks of chocolate. And I could make my own wrapper. And I think the point was you were meant to design a bar and send it for somebody else to give them joy. Although I was thinking, how can I sneak 60 chunks into our house for us to enjoy? But I didn't manage to do that. But here we have it. "Scan here for joy." And of course, joy is something that everyone, I think, in this world is seeking after. We're all searching for joy. And there are many things in life that can give us joy. Whether it's a simple bar of chocolate, whether it's a meal with some friends, whether it's a trip to the seaside, whether it's the birth of a baby, there are many things that bring us joy. But this morning, what I want you to see with me is that actually it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ that you will find a source of joy and a reason for rejoicing that will enable you to rejoice always. Now, just remember that Paul here, he was writing to Christians in the city of Philippi. And he gives them this command to rejoice always. And what he says here is remarkable. Okay, it's remarkable. Why is it remarkable? Well, number one, it's remarkable because of the circumstances of the people that Paul was writing to. Remember that for these Christians in Philippi, it wasn't all holidays and sunny days and happy days and birthdays. No, these people were suffering. They were being persecuted. Chapter 1, verse 28 tells us that they had adversaries, they had enemies. Chapter 1, verse 29, boys and girls, are you ready for this answer? These people, we're told, were suffering for Christ's sake. Verse 30 tells us that they had conflict. So these people were going through a really tough time. And then this verse is remarkable too because of the circumstances that Paul was in. Remember, as he writes this letter, Paul, he's not on holiday on the golf course by the sea. He's in prison. He's about to face trial. He's possibly going to die. He's suffering for Jesus' sake. And so how remarkable Do you get how remarkable this is, that it's this man in these difficult circumstances writing to these Christians in their difficult circumstances who says to them, rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case you think, well, it can't really mean us, he says, I'm going to say it again, rejoice. It's remarkable. But it's also very relevant. It's relevant. It's relevant for these first Christians because, remember again, they're going through a really tough time. They're suffering. And maybe they're more than anybody else. They need to be encouraged, don't they? To rejoice in the Lord, even in this time of suffering. But I think these words are really relevant to us too, aren't they? Kind of Gerald pointed us towards that in his prayer. We're living through a really tough year. We've all had to face difficulties and frustrations and challenges, maybe like no other year of our lives. And it could be easy to respond by being grumpy and angry and bitter and frustrated and discouraged. And so here's a command from the Lord for you that's so relevant to this time. Rejoice in the Lord always, even 2020. And actually, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that as Christians, we can be told to rejoice always? Not because this is some pie-in-the-sky idea that's beyond our reach, but because in the Lord Jesus, you have every reason to be joyful, even in a year like this. So let me ask you this morning before we go on, do you have a source of joy in your life? Do you have a reservoir of joy in your life that enables you to be rejoicing always? Or are you finding that the things you look to for joy don't fully satisfy, seem to let you down so often? Well, if you're trusting in Jesus, let me encourage you that you do have a source of joy and a reason for rejoicing that actually never fails. And let me tell you, if you're not a Christian, I want you to see that actually it's only in Jesus Christ and in the salvation that he offers you that you will find a reservoir of joy, a source of joy that will enable you to always be rejoicing, whether in this life or for eternity. So this morning, we're just going to focus in on this verse, chapter 4, verse 4 of Philippians. And I want to ask and I want to answer three simple questions to help us understand it and apply it. And the first question is the what question. What are we being told to do here? And we've seen the answer. What are we being told to do? We're being told to rejoice. Boys and girls on your sheet, we're being told here to rejoice. And rejoicing and being joyful is a big theme in this letter. Chapter 1, verse 4, Paul tells us that he was praying with joy for the Philippians. Chapter 1, verse 26, he tells the Philippians that his great desire was for their progress and joy in the faith. Chapter 3, verse 1, he tells them to rejoice in the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 3, he describes Christians as people who rejoice in Christ Jesus. But here, chapter 4, verse 4, we have the most emphatic statement about rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. And I'll say it again, in case you haven't heard, or in case you think this can't be for me, rejoice. So what does that mean in practice, to rejoice? Well, rejoicing is one of those hard words, isn't it, to sum up. We kind of have to use lots of other words to describe it. So when we think about rejoicing in the Lord, we probably think things like, well, it means praising the Lord, thanking the Lord, worshipping the Lord, being happy and glad and delighting in the Lord. And this rejoicing can express itself in many different ways. We often think about rejoicing in terms of being very exuberant and outwards, don't we? But it doesn't have to be. Rejoicing can be expressed in singing out loud. It can be expressed in praying out loud. It can be expressed in sharing with other people what God has done for you. But rejoicing can also be expressed in a solemn silence where you're just reflecting on the goodness of God. It can be expressed in tears of gratitude as you think about what the Lord has done for you. It can be expressed in times of silent prayer where you just delight in what the Lord has done for you. rejoicing in the Lord can be expressed in different ways. But actually, it's not how we express it that's the focus here, is it? It's actually what the grounds of our rejoicing are and the extent of our rejoicing that's Paul's focus. And we'll see that in a minute. But before we move on from what, I want you just to notice actually the big thing here is that this is a command. Do you realize that? This isn't a suggestion. This isn't something that you might like to go away and consider whether you should do if you're a Christian. This is a command. Rejoice always, Paul is saying. Now, maybe that sounds a bit strange to you because maybe it sounds impossible to you because joy, we often think it simply is a feeling. And who are we to turn our feelings on and off? There's not a switch with which you can turn your feelings on and off. How can you command me to have my feelings joyful all the time? Surely that's impossible. But you know, in the Bible, joy, just like love, is something that's commanded of Christians, which shows us that this can't be just about feelings and what you feel like doing. Feelings come and feelings go, but the command to rejoice is always there. And feelings are important, feelings are involved, but this is more than just about feelings. Sinclair Ferguson, in his helpful commentary on Philippians, he talks about our minds, our wills, and our feelings. And he says the Bible pattern is that you begin with your mind, and you feed your mind with the truths of God's word, and let your mind be shaped by what God says about himself and what he's done for us. And it's as your mind is filled with the truth of God's word that your will can then respond in obedience to God and trust in God. And it's as your mind is filled with the truth of God and you respond obediently to God in rejoicing that your feelings are then stirred up. But often we get it the other way around, don't we? We let our feelings control our lives. We let our feelings determine what we do. We let our wills determine what we think. But when it comes to rejoicing in the Lord, we need to begin with our minds and let God's word shape how we're thinking. Let God's word tell us truth about God and what he's like and what he's done for us. And then we can respond with our wills and say, yes, I'm going to trust him and I'm going to rejoice in him and obey what he says. And it's then that we find so often that our feelings also get stirred up. But even if you don't have joyful feelings, doesn't mean that you're not called to rejoice in the Lord. And even if you're rejoicing in the Lord and you don't feel a warm glow or a buzzy sensation, it doesn't mean you're not really rejoicing. So what are we being told to do here? We're being told to rejoice, to praise, to worship, to be glad, to delight, to thank the Lord. But secondly, let's ask the why question. Why are we being told to do this? And we find the answer when we focus on those words, in the Lord. Boys and girls, we're told here to rejoice, if you've got it on your sheet, in the Lord. Boys and girls at home, if you feel that in the Lord, that's the answer. So the Bible doesn't simply say rejoice when life is good. It doesn't say rejoice on a Friday afternoon when you've finished work and you've got 2 weeks of holiday ahead of you. It doesn't simply say rejoice when you feel like it. If that's what the Bible said, then we wouldn't be able to rejoice always because life isn't always good and we don't always feel like it. But what we're told here is to rejoice in the Lord. In other words, we're to make the Lord the focus and the foundation of our rejoicing. Rejoicing in the Lord is making the Lord the reason why we're going to rejoice. Rejoicing in the Lord is about worshiping, praising, delighting in him for who he is and for what he's done for us. Paul gives us a great practical example of this, doesn't he? In Ephesians chapter 1, that was the basis of our first song this morning. Do you remember Ephesians chapter 1? Paul begins like this. He says, blessed be, or praise be, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul is rejoicing, and then he's just got one massive long sentence that comes out, and it's just full of stuff that God has done for us. He says he's chosen us before the world began. He predestined us to be adopted into his family. He's redeemed us and forgiven us for our sins. He's revealed his plans for the future to us. He's let us hear the gospel and trust in it. He's sealed us with the Holy Spirit who guarantees our future. It all comes pouring out of Paul, and he's rejoicing. That's what rejoicing in the Lord is about. Letting God's word reveal to us the things about God and what he's done for us, and being stirred up to respond in praise, in delight, in thanks. Luke chapter 10, verse 20, Jesus tells his disciples to rejoice, not because of their spiritual power over the evil spirits. He says, no, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Boys and girls, that's on your sheet. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And notice this then. Notice. Did you notice? What's Paul just spoken about in Philippians?